Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go, Hour 3, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan, ESPN did the next player to make the MLB Top 100 from each team. And here's what they had to say about the Texas Rangers. General at your service, at ease. If you see me, bear me. N.A., though, still riding on that train. And what you're drinking, what you're thinking is now an hour and 20 minutes away. There's Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout and executive. Zach Wolchuk. You have Alec Medford in for Lucius, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. What are you watching, Brian?
That's LSU's coach Kim Mulkey on the. That's her outfit for the game today. Their coaching staff will wear some crazy. Drip. Is that what they call it? The drip.
I guess.
They all wear. They have a color they'll wear.
All right.
But then everybody kind of like.
Okay.
The crazy pants.
So that's not Mulkey doing that on her own?
No, that's the whole staff. It's kind of their bit.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's their bit.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Who do you think it should be for the Rangers, Wolchuk? You know, ESPN just did their top 100 players. We had three guys in there. Who's going to be the next Ranger in that club?
I think you could definitely go with two guys that we talked about yesterday, whether it's Adolis Garcia or Nathaniel Lowe, to crack that top 100.
They go with Josh Jung.
Josh Jung,
okay.
Yeah.
Is he ascending that quickly? He was a leading rookie of the year candidate last year until he missed most of the season, says the story. Looks to pick up where he left off. They do mention Lowe and Garcia and Jonah Heim as well, but yeah. Josh Jung has been ripping the cover off the baseball pretty much since we left Surprise, guys. He was struggling early, but he's been
killing it. Defense was really good when we were out there for those 5 days or so. He was making some nice plays, and they were just trying to get him going. And he wasn't really hitting the ball. It wasn't like he was lining out and hitting the ball hard. It was kind of some weak stuff there. But after we left, he kind of figured some things out. So good for him. I mean, they need him. They need that position over there to be pretty solid, in the third base.
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be amazing if he was able to crack the top 100. I just think that's high expectation right there after 1 year playing in the
bigs.
That'd
be a real breakout into stardom.
That'd be unbelievable. I mean, he's a big name. There's no question. There's high expectations. But to go from 1 year starting to now you're in the MLB top 100, I think is a little nuts.
It is pretty dang cool that he's going to be out there, though, and it's one of the big reasons to be excited about this team, and maybe something that that fans are overlooking when it comes to their expectations. I think we're heading for 85 wins at bottom, at least, and a tremendous summer right here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, you mentioned the Mets and what they're doing there with their delicious food. The Cubs, now I feel like the Rangers might have started this about 10, 12 years ago, with bringing the insanely delicious items to the ballpark. The Cubs might have taken to the next level. A concession menu that really represents a full commitment to gourmet and fine dining.
Okay.
In that ballpark?
Yeah, I guess.
I haven't been to Wrigley.
Nah.
I'd love to. You're not impressed, huh? No, overrated?
Heck no.
It's going to be the most classy thing about that ballpark.
Yeah, sitting out in the outfield, and they got the seats out there on the other buildings and all kinds of stuff. I mean, being out in the outfield would be cool. My experience of being in that ballpark, cramped, no amenity. I mean, it was not
good. You had a Wrigley dog?
I was over at the Cubby Bear across the way, $2 old styles, dollar hot dogs. I'm like, why do we have to go in that overpriced stadium over there and watch baseball?
Man.
We can watch it right here.
Well, maybe your experience would have been better if you had been able to enjoy the crispy chicken bao bun. Crispy chicken bao bun sounds pretty good.
That does sound good, but it's a crummy ballpark. I'm just telling you.
Okay, we'll take your word for
that.
It's bad.
It's okay. Yeah, it's like, hey, have a great meal in a crummy dining.
You really can't renovate those kind of things. There's just no room to expand.
How about a new ballpark?
You got low ceilings, narrow hallways, bad facilities. Mm-hmm. I hear you. You know, I do like a lot of the old places, and I think I'd like to go there, but maybe after a couple of things, I'd be like, okay, I got it. I've been here. You know, I can have a reference point. Yeah. How about a crispy chicken thigh, though, with Thai chili sauce? That sounds amazing. What they're doing.
Anything with Thai chili sauce, I'm involved.
Me too.
How do you say the word? Is it gyro? G-Y-R-O?
Gyro. Gyro, yeah.
They got Greek loaded fries with
that's a shaved
with
sandwich.
Gyro meat,
yeah.
Feta cheese, Kalamata olives,
yeah.
And feta cream sauce. They're going next level at Wrigley.
That's very Greekish.
They got a lot of crispy chicken items, including a crispy chicken torta, which features mayo ancho cabbage and cotija cheese on a torta roll. And then here's the highlight, the star of the show, their quesabarria, a dish that's made with barbacoa,
yeah.
Spanish onions, chihuahua cheese, and ancho chili sauce. That's at a dang ballpark.
That sounds good.
Fine dining at its best. That's like a Nick and Sam's menu right
there.
They have to do something.
You're
getting crapped on from your Wrigley takes, by the way.
I don't really care. I really don't.
What about
Fenway?
You're insane. Wrigley was one of the most fun experiences of my life, says
sure
the 94. Did you not drink enough beer?
Oh, no. Drank plenty of $12 beers in that place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you get to sing in the seventh inning. Take me out to the ball game. Yoo-hoo.
Bad take about Wrigley, says the 469.
Yeah. There's better ballparks around.
Go Cubs, go.
Yeah, that place
hey, Chicago, what do you say?
Is it worse than the Commanders? Yes, by far.
Yeah. Gotta be.
If
there's no poopy water there.
You know, Brian's a bigger guy too. You gotta realize like stadiums made back then were made for when the average American was at about 5'8".
It's very much like going into the Cotton Bowl where you try and get through the corridors and stuff and walk around and you can't move and
they only take cash.
Well, that's the thing about it is you go out to our new ballpark here and you know, you feel like you have space and when you're standing in line, you're not like right on top of somebody and you feel like you have more options. And, you know, it's just, I'm like I say, nothing against old, you know, mm-hmm. the Lambeau. They dolled up Lambeau Field. You know what I'm saying? Took one of the oldest stadiums in the NFL and dolled it up to where it makes it worth going.
Maybe just do a little renovation.
Yeah.
A little makeover.
They can't there.
Wrigley is massively overrated, says the 917. I've never heard of the 917.
Is that Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead and check that out. And then 817 says Broadus is an idiot. You know, so it's you polarize the
New
audience.
New York City 917.
Yeah, I think you're getting a lot of people to agree with you, actually. So if you think Brian's an idiot, then you think half the world's stupid because he's got a lot of support over here. NBA superstar Trae Young on refs missing calls. That's the next headline here in our sports hodgepodge. And I got to tell you, when it comes to Trae Young, sometimes when I see him talk, I'm like, okay, this is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'll be honest. This took it to another level, though. And I'm kind of upset with him because I like a good ref critique. I think we need to go after these guys and keep them accountable. But when your idea makes no sense, you're hurting our cause. You know, it's like those. It's like the normal crowd, the national organization to reform marijuana laws. You can't put Beavis and Butthead out there as your spokesperson, right? I'm right about that, right? If you're going to be pro marijuana legalization, you can't have stoner bros out there who can't keep two sentences strung together being your main advocates. Trae Young last night. Refs should be held more accountable with fines and suspensions, just like us. They shouldn't get "we missed it" passes. So I do like demanding better from the refs, you know, and I speak passionately about that along with Brian. We get in trouble sometimes with the officiating unions.
Yes.
So I like what Trae is doing as an overall premise, but what we're talking about is executing the job. So how often you get it right or win the rep. Not if you're verbally or physically attacking people on the court. That's what you get fined and suspended for. Talking, gestures, or actual violence. That's what you can get fined for as a player. And when refs do that, like with Spencer Dinwiddie earlier this year, there is an actual punishment for that. But what a ref missing a call is like you missing a shot, Trae. That's the analogy you're drawing. They missed a call. You missed a shot. Do you get fined and suspended for that? No. So if you can't make a take flow logically and show me the math that led to your conclusion, I can only conclude that you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And that hurt me, Trae. That really did to go after you like that. I really enjoy your game. But you know, there's a weird speech thing going on. Your hair is all wrong, and your logic is not flowing at all. I think you got a lot of growing up to do. Oh, seven-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Tom Brady has acquired an ownership stake in the WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces.
Cue the Brady to Vegas rumors.
Is that what's going on here?
Who the hell knows? Him and Mark Davis are partners
now? They're working together. Yeah. All you need is Jimmy G to get hurt. Next thing you know, you need a quarterback. You get to skip training camp and everything, and Brady shows up, and he's the hero with his buddy Josh McDaniels, right?
Yeah, possibly. I'm not going to rule that out. I just thought he was a great businessman, and he saw the ratings on the women's tournament going up.
That's probably more likely. I mean, shame on me. I'm just being reckless over here.
Time to buy in. You can't rule that out, though. There's been enough smoke. Like, when Jordan came back to the Wizards, many of you probably don't remember that, there was a six-month period where they're like, yeah, he might come back, and it was like, you're stupid. There's no way this is going to happen. And, you know, with what we see with comebacks, and obviously as a good businessman, you would like the opportunity to play 17 games for $40 million. So, you know, if you're going to invest a few mil in a WNBA team in hopes of making $20 or $30 million, then I would think you could, you know, recognize the same thing about your ability to play. Hey, LeBron has addressed reports concerning his return, saying he speaks for himself. That is our next storyline here inside the hodgepodge. Yeah, he's out with an injured ankle. Addressed reports that claims he was due to be evaluated on Thursday and would be returning for the last three games of the season. Says it's simply not true.
Mm.
Where do reports like this come from? Totally fabricated. There was not an evaluation today even, and there hasn't been any target date for my return, he wrote on Twitter. I'm just working around the clock every day, three times a day to give myself the best chance of coming back full strength whenever that is. God bless your sources, but I speak for myself. The 38-year-old James has been sidelined since February 26 when he suffered that tendon injury in his right foot. I'm really impressed the Lakers have been able to hang on to you know, something resembling a playoff spot in his absence, and you know, maybe he will come back and they'll make a run at it.
I'll tell you what, the players are getting tired of media members. They're getting tired of people. You know, we're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers and people like that. They're getting really, really tired of all the insiders and stuff like that. But the problem is, you got to watch your teammates. They're the ones leaking stuff out. You know, they're the ones leaking out information to these reporters. And there's some really good reporters around all the sports, cover all the sports. But I can see the players like, I don't. Who's your source? Well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's funny. It reminds me of that story of like Ed Warder one time was standing there. We were working on the draft. Ed Warder was standing there, and we were in the war room. And Ed's just going on and on and on about what we're going to do. And Jerry Jones goes, well, who told him that? And Steven goes, you did. And Jerry's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, they're not supposed to know.
They're not supposed to know, but you know what? These guys and gals do a really good job. I just think the players are getting tired of it, though.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, I also think they should acknowledge when somebody got the story right, because that's happening a lot too, and they don't like that the story is out, so they go after the reporter and pretend like he's making stuff up.
Right.
So it's a dirty game both ways, and maybe it's not the perfect analogy, but it is very much like the FBI trying to investigate the mafia. And the mafia has secrets that they can't let out.
Sure.
You know, and we're trying desperately to get those out, and when you do find them, there's a very, very strong denial. And maybe attempts to influence witnesses and code silences put down and everything. There's just so much drama. Obviously, if you have organizations with 200 humans working in a high-pressure environment, there is going to be a lot of drama that we never hear about. And somehow we found ourselves in this weird place where all sports teams are trying to create the illusion, the perception that it's always calm waters. We're just doing our jobs and, you know, working to our next championship, kumbaya. Did you know fish can sense fear, Brian?
Fish
can?
They should when I'm on a boat.
No way.
Yeah, story goes, the capacity of humans to care about others may go back to long before people even walked. It's according to a new study that found not only do fish experience fear, but they also sense fear in other fish. What's more is researchers found the mechanism in fish is controlled by oxytocin, the same brain chemical that regulates it in humans. Some of the mechanisms that underlie our ability to experience fear or fall in and out of love are clearly very ancient pathways, says Hans Hoffman, an evolutionary neuroscientist at the University of Texas.
There you go.
You probably thought I was going to say Cal Berkeley or some hippie spot.
Yeah.
But no,
some
this
hippie spot.
What was his name? Franz? Hans?
Yeah, you're right. Hoffman.
Hans Hoffman does not sound like a, it's like it would be another.
We got a big German community down there in the Waco area.
New Braunfels, right?
That's west. Yeah. You know, that's how we got all these delicious food items.
Hans.
Yeah, I think Hans is Texas through and through, if you ask me. All right, there you go. It's a sports hodgepodge. We got Wooly Bully's top 10 at 420 coming up next. Where are we going with that, sir?
National Cheese Steak Day. I got the top 10 DFW sandwich spots. What's your favorite? 877-881-1053. And I'm asking the question, is peanut butter considered a liquid? Next on The Fan.
Ooh, okay.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Nation. 254 says Gavin West at Texas is full of Czechs, not Germans. You're right about that. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, it's obviously New Braunfels has the German community down through there and through San Antonio. So thanks for the correction. Whatever the case, some delicious food through there. I love the Czech stop. That probably should have let me give me a clue. Okay, segment here, though. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420, and it's brought to you by Frankel & Frankel. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck. So companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel & Frankel. Consultation's always free at truckwreck.com. Here's Zachary.
Thank you very much, General. I've got the top 10 fantastic sandwiches in DFW that you have to try on National Cheese Steak Day. Text in your favorite place to get a sandwich, 877-881-1053. Before we get to that, an update on Kevin Durant. The Sun Star is progressing towards a return on Wednesday against the Timberwolves, which is good news for Phoenix, as we thought maybe he was going to be out until the postseason. So maybe they get him back to ramp up right before that.
And they got no shot. They're just like the Mavs.
You think they're just bleeped?
Yeah,
they can't play any defense?
No, they can't play any defense. Chris Paul, Devin Booker can't get to the free throw line. They're out of position. No, they're not contenders. They might win a series or something like that, but I'm not taking them serious.
And apparently Jake Paul, the amateur boxer, claims that he was with Aaron Rodgers when they did ayahuasca together.
Really?
He was part of the ayahuasca experience. He was interviewed by Fox News.
I think he got some bunk. His didn't work.
Well, he hasn't seemed to have changed,
no,
you know, emotionally and spiritually. But he said Aaron and I were actually together when he did the ayahuasca. Now, he's been a little bit more open about it. He's been more public. But I was actually there with him when we did it. We spent the week there doing it. Definitely share that similarity in terms of spirituality and reflecting and going into the deepest parts of the mind. Definitely have been doing some of that, Jake Paul. So he also said, it's funny, I was planning on doing the darkness retreat later this year. I think it's always powerful to just take some time and see how everything unfolds, what the next steps are in terms of my boxing career and all that. Maybe he likes to follow him around.
Do you think that that Aaron appreciates Jake coming out and saying stuff like that?
Probably not. I think it's
like,
fine.
Is he good with that?
I think he's fine because he talked about it.
Is that snitching on him a little bit?
If he hadn't talked about it, it would be, but yeah, Aaron's out with it.
I mean, the ayahuasca thing was over a year ago now, right?
Yep.
Or roughly. So, and he's just now saying, hey, I was there. I was with him doing it. So okay. Maybe he just, there was a rule from Aaron like, hey, dude, shut the bleep up. Yeah. But now enough time's gone by, so they can talk about it.
Imagine the freedom to just explore whatever you want to. You know, you got the money to go to the Andes Mountains. You got the time.
Tibet.
Yeah, Tibet or whatever it is. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, whether it's racing or ayahuasca, spirituality, just the freedom to explore stuff.
There's like a lot of things, like say the drugs, you know, people have different, like you mentioned that racing.
Yeah.
I mean, that, when you get me at a track.
That's like a drug to you.
That's like a drug.
You feel the adrenaline.
Well, it's the sound, the sight, the smell.
Well, plus you snort that Sunoco fuel, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In the pits.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to let them know. All right. And before we get into the top 10 list, is peanut butter considered a liquid? Let's go around the horn. Alec Medford, Little Red Medford, filling in for Lucius. What say you, sir? Is peanut butter considered a liquid?
Ooh, my brain hurts. Man, I'd say it probably should be considered a liquid.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's absolutely liquid.
Yeah, it's just slow moving. You know, glass is a liquid.
Is it?
Yeah.
No way.
It just takes 100 years for it to drip to the bottom.
Oh, there you go. Well, you guys are right. The TSA's verdict on this is peanut butter a liquid. Yes.
Oh, so they're not letting you bring it through.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's
such a scam what they're doing. They're trying to get you to shop at the little stores
on the other side.
Yeah.
Patrick Nee said... He tried to take peanut butter through airport security. TSA said, sorry, sir, but no liquids, gels, or some other word that I'm not going to try and pronounce are allowed. He said, I want you to tell me which of these things you think peanut butter is. Liquid or non-liquid? And they said, it's definitely a liquid. So no peanut butter through the TSA lines.
Well, I tell you what, if you eat too much of it, which I have, it'll turn into a liquid.
Yeah, it will. It will gut you
in
the worst possible way because I went through a peanut butter craze as well.
Okay, yeah.
I was going...
Do you guys just eat it out of the jar?
Yeah, I was taking down jars, Brian.
I haven't eaten a whole jar, but...
It wasn't like the big family size jar, but it was one of the, you know, the small ones you can buy at the gas station. I took down a jar of that.
Wow, that's impressive. They have these
I'm on soda.
They have these little personal cups now. It's so popular. I have those in the fridge.
Yeah, they're like fun flavors and stuff. You can order
Jif
them.
Ones?
Yeah, a little Jif.
Okay, so you ate a whole jar of peanut butter just with a spoon?
Huh? Yeah.
See, I never go back into the second one.
I'm an animal.
I'm a one spoon guy.
I don't know if cookie dough or eating peanut butter like that is the worst. Just straight cookie
I've done the cookie dough deal, too, but that will hurt more.
That's a lot more sugar.
That's not good.
Right.
Have you eaten a whole tube of cookie dough, too?
No, that's a little too much.
Quarter tube?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably me, too.
Did you just pass out? Is that what happened? You hammered?
I just was, I don't know if I was hammered, honestly. I can't remember. Probably means I was.
Multiple
hammered.
Times.
Yeah.
Multiple memories.
Gosh. So many great times taking down those.
I could never go down that path. I couldn't go
what?
Down that
you
path.
You couldn't take down some cookie dough?
No. Or take a jar of peanut butter, just sit there and eat it?
Come on. It's pretty good, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I can understand the actual with the crunchy.
Yeah.
I could get that.
Yeah, it's better.
Smooth? No.
No, I don't think I could eat much of that.
The crunchy is definitely the one to go with if you're going to just spread jar it.
No, you're over there. You ate a whole jar of smooth.
I'll eat the creamy. I haven't done a jar in one sitting of the creamy, but I have eaten it out of the jar 100%, Brian. I don't have anything
What's your favorite brand over there?
Peter Pan.
Of course it is.
Well, and it's probably because growing up, that's what my grandparents had. So, like, I associate it with them, you know?
Like, no crackers, no anything like that. Just straight take a spoon and go.
I can only tolerate, like, one tablespoon. It dries your mouth out.
That's what I'm saying. How, yeah. I mean,
it does
how
do you recover from
something like
that?
I mean, like, you need a bucket of water to do this.
You guys just need to give it a try, then come back to me.
Hell okay? No, I'm not going to give it a try.
I eat a spoonful of peanut butter every morning.
Okay. A whole jar, 619, sir, ma'am.
I love peanut butter. I love eating it out of the jar with a spoon.
A whole jar.
Eat the damn jar, Brian. Quit being a crusty.
The little gas station
jar.
Yeah, not the monster one. He only eats ice cream out of something that big.
Yeah, that's true. I'll put down some ice cream. You guys know that very well. All right, let's get into the best sandwich places. Do you guys have like a go-to sandwich spot? You guys have to get some sandwiches, maybe like a certain sandwich. I know it's
right up the street, Jersey Mike's. Yeah. Say hi to my guy Jeff. He hasn't seen me in a month.
Yeah.
And he's probably wondering where I am. He's about to put it on an APB on
he's
me.
He's like, where the hell is
I'll see
guy?
You in 2 weeks. Good Friday coming up in 2 weeks.
I'm looking forward to that. We got a lot of texts coming in here in terms of their favorite. Jimmy's Food Store off Bryan Street in Dallas, best Italian sandwich. They may or may not
that's okay, on my route.
Be on this
if,
list.
If
that's downtown, right? Bryan Street there?
It's just over there.
Oh, is it behind us? Okay.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that. Best cheesesteak in DFW is in DeSoto at Big Tony's West Philly Cheesesteak, just south of 20 on Hampton Road. They also may or may not be on this list.
Well, that's Aisha Morrison. That was what she was talking about.
Yeah, right? Aisha shouted out Big Tony's as well. Fred's Philly in Carrollton, best without going to Philly from 214. There's also a Fred's Philly Cheesesteak in Dallas or in Plano as well. Sorry about the voice crack. Subhub by UNT. Shout out to my dent night there from the 281. I went to Subhub quite a few times in my days there with the North Texas Mean Green. We got some love for Colossal Sandwich, HEB area.
I think Chiafalo was telling us about that spot.
I think he was too. Fred's and Allen also great. We've got Weinburgers.
Weinburgers and Grapevine. And Grapevine is awesome.
Okay, which sandwich did you get?
They have a muffalata.
Okay, you like the muffalata.
Yeah, the muffalata,
Do you have a go-to sandwich or sandwich spot there, Alec Medford?
I actually just went to that Jersey Mike's before the show. I got some sitting in the fridge for me here
I
got the number 7 today. I'm gearing up to start leaning out here in April, get that summer body going. Well,
what's the 7?
He's gearing up to start leaning
turkey.
Out.
Turkey. It's good sando.
Is he one of the smallest guys we work with?
Well, I've been bulking. I put on 32 pounds since the end of the pandemic.
Get out of here. Get out. There's no way.
No, he's starting to look pretty swole.
Are you on roids?
I mean, like lifting weight?
Yeah.
I'm roids.
Are you on roids?
Are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know where to seek those out.
Internet's
a good spot. Yeah. You're looking good, bro.
I appreciate
it. Looking
swole. Yeah, it's been 32 pounds since the end of the pandemic, so.
I think you look sexy, bro. Dang.
And now you're about to shred? Are you going to do, like, competitive posing and stuff, or what are you thinking?
That might be something I'll look into. I know one thing, Carter Freeman back here, running a lot of 5Ks.
Okay.
So, and I was a distance runner in high school, so that might be something I get back into. And I need to be lean for that. I am so out of shape in terms of stamina.
Yeah. And
I know the feeling.
682, you might be onto something. Maybe Bryan is making up for Eric with the fat shaming, because I definitely felt assaulted
as well. I'm trying to do my part as well.
With the peanut butter.
How many pull-ups can you do, Alec?
Pull-ups?
Yeah.
mean to.
Maybe, I think probably like 15.
Yeah, that's good. 15 pull-ups.
15 pull-ups?
15 pull-ups.
I don't know if I could do one.
Yeah, that gives me hope. If he can do 15... I might be able to do one here in the next
year. Our guy's a beast. All right, here are the honorable mentions.
I might put some money on this.
Invasion out off of Crutcher Street. They've apparently got one of the best Nashville hot chicken sandwiches in DFW. We've also got Latin Deli. The tomato and Mott's Supreme sandwich is their specialty off Abrams Road.
That sounds really good.
Top Round off of Bryan Street as well. They've got a horse in a hole or the beef on wreck. Those are their two sandwiches that they feature.
I don't want to eat a horse.
Shout out to Deli News off Preston Road. Oh, my gosh. I love that place.
Yeah, I think I met Jared Sandler over there one time.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Did he ever invite you? He's like, let's meet over
there. Well, Deli News and Cindy's are like two very popular Jewish delis.
Yeah.
And I love both of those spots. But the Reuben sandwich there, and they'll pile meat on.
Yes.
I mean, they will pile the meat on at both of those locations. They actually have a Deli News right by the Star now, too, in Frisco
that
we should hit up. Tasty Tales off Beltline in Addison, the Po' Boy. There is their featured sandwich. You can either get the shrimp, catfish, or oyster. Oh, boy.
Sounds good.
And then number 10, This is off Turtle Creek Boulevard, not far from the station. It's called Brown Bag Provisions. Their Charles Pastrami sandwich, $13. That is what they recommend you get. And it looks like they've got some marble rye. Oh, my gosh. It looks delicious. I don't know if they make this in-house, but they use horseradish, pickles, Swiss cheese, and whole grain mustard on the Reuben marbled rye. And it looks fantastic.
Gavin just went a big, yeah.
Because of the pickles?
Yeah, the whole thing.
I was thinking about the name, Brown Bag Provisions. That's cool. It's a good name.
It's a sexy name.
We've done the Dallas Grilled Cheese thing before, right?
We have. Yeah, and Dallas Grilled Cheese Company is fantastic.
Did they move?
Did they move locations?
I don't know.
Are they not over there off of like left field?
We were talking about the brisket grilled cheese and stuff like that.
I hope they didn't move because they were amazing.
They were amazing, yeah.
Nine. I don't know if you've been to this place, Brian. It's called the Freeman Cajun Cafe and Lounge.
Have not.
Off Commerce Street. This might be a place you got to check out because they specialty in the muffalata.
There we go.
$12.95.
Love it.
Get the muffalata there and it looks really good. Number 8 on the top 10 sandwiches in DFW here on National Cheesesteak Day. We go to PT Neighborhood Pizzeria. They make a classic Italian combo sandwich. It's $12. Prosciutto, salami, pepperoni, ham, fontina, hot peppers, and a chili aioli with tomato, lettuce, and Italian dressing.
Ooh, yes, please. I got to try that out.
This thing looks
delicious. The Italian might be my favorite sandwich just overall.
Yeah,
the Italian meats are absolutely fantastic. We got Dino Subs in Arlington getting texted in as well. New York Subway across Hillcrest from SMU is getting texted in. Potbelly.
Say that one again. What's the one across Hillcrest?
New York Subway.
Okay.
Give that a chance.
I need to give that one a chance.
The Commissary comes in at number 7. This one's off Main Street. Their French dip for $13 is their specialty sandwich.
French dip.
That's a great sandwich, the French dip is, but they can try to hide some mayonnaise in there on you.
You got to make sure it's dry.
You got to make sure they're holding it. Yeah.
Okay.
They think they're adding value. They're ruining the sandwich.
You're ruining it. Yeah. You're ruining this. Modest Rogers off Fairmont Street comes in at number 6. Their specialty is the Cuban sandwich you can get for $15. Roasted pork, ham, Swiss cheese, pickles, and garlic mustard aioli on a freshly grilled Cuban bread.
Mm.
Sounds really good.
Pressed flat, right?
Yes.
Cuban sandwich?
Very flat.
Yeah.
We've got the club sandwich at Jonathan's Diner coming in at number 5.
Very underrated sandwich, the old club sandwich.
Love a good club, man. If you do it right. Now, I don't know if you're going to like this one, Brian, because they do put egg on there. Yeah,
so on their club?
They do, and you might want to go no egg.
I go no egg on that
on
one.
The club, but otherwise...
It's not scrambled eggs, the omelet. It's just the white of the fried
egg.
This is
kind of like a fried egg that they put on there.
Yeah.
And they kind of cook the yolk so it's not quite as runny, so it holds onto the sandwich, but this looks like a monster of a club. It's off North Beckley Avenue here in Dallas. Next up, we've got Big Tony's West Philly Cheesesteaks, which has locations in Allen, DeSoto, and Plano. Coming up at number 3 is Alamo Club, which has a breakfast sandwich that's to die for, apparently. It's $12. Slices of pecan, smoked bacon, 2 eggs cooked to order, crispy hash browns, Mickey D's style hash browns, by the way. Then they put that in parentheses. Eric would be proud. Shredded longhorn cheddar cheese and jalapeno mayo.
Jalapeno.
Yep.
Jalapeno.
Jalapenos. Number 2 is Loro Asian Smokehouse and Bar off North Haskell. They've got an oak smoked beef brisket sandwich. That is their specialty. We might need to give that a try, boys.
Yeah.
Oak. Unbelievable.
But number 1, the top sandwich in DFW, according to the Dallas Observer. Sandwich Hag off Lamar Street.
God, it's right here.
Yeah, it's all right by us. Here.
Right
what
off
are we doing?
Lamar Street. They serve a pork, sausage, tofu, chicken, and veggie sandwich, but their banh mi is what you need to get, according to the Dallas Observer. That is their number 1 sandwich here on National Cheesesteak.
Banh mi.
The Bond Me.
I got to go check that out. Sandwich Hag. Thank you, Old Chuck. His top 10 every afternoon at 4:20. When we come back, it's time to go around the NFC East and how the Eagles have taken control of the division in the conference and what the Cowboys have to do to match it. I'll tell you what I think about that coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thank you, Alec. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Mr. Medford in for Lucius Alexander, who will return on Monday to the Pimp Cup. All right. This story right here, to me, is about the biggest difference between the Eagles and the Cowboys. What changed for the Cowboys over the last 5 years compared to that period from like 2012 to 2018? It's, you know, it's not really the quarterback play. That's been about the same. The Eagles had Carson Wentz, and, you know, he played really well, actually, for a couple of years, and then Nick Foles won them a Super Bowl, and now they have Jalen Hurts, who's, you know, maybe playing a little bit better than those guys, but not much. And Dak's been improving, even though, you know, fans' frustration is growing. He's a good quarterback. You know, to me, it's what they did today with Lane Johnson that symbolizes the difference. Here's a guy, for them, 32 years old, still the best tackle in the NFL. Their center, 36 years old, maybe the best center in the NFL. The Cowboys, along this path, where they had the best offensive line in 2016, they lost Doug Free, they lost Ron Leary. Those guys were getting old and one-hit free agency. But then Tyron Smith ages out due to injury, pretty much, from domination. And Travis Frederick gets that syndrome and then just retired. If you were able to stay healthy, you would have Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, and maybe you had just found Terrence Steele, right? And you would have four really, really good offensive linemen, but instead the Cowboys found bad luck. And I think they took a huge step in the right direction last year, finding Tyler Smith. I hated the pick at the beginning. I didn't like it even halfway through the season. I was like, this guy's getting ghosted way too much in pass sets. But towards the end of the year, he really impressed. And everybody that follows it closely with the film says he improved every week. So I'm happy about that. But I think the difference is how good that Eagles offensive line is. How could Dak only have 5 picks his rookie year but have 16 in just 13 games this year? It's the protection. And not only does it give them the best offensive line for pass pro, but also in the running game. If you want to get back to running the hell out of the football and having the ability to play turnover free for the most part, passing the ball, it all comes back to continuing to invest in that offensive line. We've made way too much about the skill players, in my opinion. We're talking about a tight end at 26. Hey, if there's no offensive lineman that makes sense, I will understand that. But you got to come out of this draft with a really, really good one in the first two rounds and then another guy to continue to add on to your depth. That is the path back to dominating this division. And hopefully it could come together right as their guys are starting to maybe age out or start get hurt themselves.
Boy, this is music to my ears. I think you win in the trenches. That is the key to success in football. And I think you're spot on. I mean, we always talk about receivers and the quarterback and the running back and, you know, all the skill, the sexy positions. They're not going to succeed if you can't block, right? Yeah. Well, if you can't block, how are you going to give time for your quarterback to get those guys the ball at receiver?
The Eagles are 79-47 when Lane Johnson plays. He got a one-year extension for $33 million. He's under contract through 2026. They're 13-22 when he's out, okay? Yeah. The Cowboys have essentially been trying to compete, missing Lane Johnson. You take Tyron Smith out, you know, that's essentially what they're trying to pull off. Even though Lane's a right tackle, a lot of people think he's the best tackle in football.
I think the thing that we should focus on even more is Mike Solari is your new offensive line coach.
Okay.
And I worry about that. I worry about Mike Solari wasn't even on an NFL staff last year.
How'd he get this job?
He's friends with Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy worked with him in San Francisco. You know, Mike McCarthy knows. I mean, they, you know, this is where you're at right now. It's you could have, I could say, I think that I think the Eagles take a step back because they're having to replace coaches. To me, and Todd Archer and I have this discussion all the time, other than the offense and defensive coordinator, your next most important coach he's probably your offensive line coach.
Wow, that's strong. And we've seen the Cowboys really struggle over the years.
Yeah,
when they get it back, when they get it wrong.
Paul Alexander,
even Joe Philbin in 21.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, and now you're thinking about, wow, really loved what I saw from Tyler Smith. Really loved what I saw from Terrence Steele. By the way, Terrence Steele, Duke Merriweather, right? Putting out clips about Steele working out and stuff like that, looking good, moving around and stuff. But, that's the thing. You got young guys, these young tackles that actually developed a little bit under Joe Philbin.
Yeah.
And now you're going to say, nah, let's just scrap that.
Yeah.
We don't want to pay Joe Philbin $2 million to be a coach. So we go and get a guy who's been out of league that's friends with Mike McCarthy. Now, maybe this will work out. But I think I think every time the Cowboys have made a switch at the offensive line coach, it's been one of those things where, like, we're all going, what the hell happened?
It's been a big setback.
It has.
Yeah. And Hudson Hawk is not waiting in the wings anymore. He's no longer looking to, jump out of retirement and bail you out. So you got to hope this Mike Solari is good. But personnel-wise, you'll get Terrence Steele back. He's like half a good tackle, if you ask me. You have Zach Martin. And then you have Biotis, who's pretty good. And then Tyler Smith, who's still coming into his own. Guys, I don't know what you expect the board to look like, but at 26, are there options for a step in and dominate type of left guard that could give this offensive line a serious facelift instantly?
There'll be three.
Yeah.
Three names.
Nice.
There'll be names.
Osiris Torrance, the guard from Florida, might get there. Steve Avila, the guard from TCU, who I think that the Cowboys, they should know very well, being in their own backyard here from Fort Worth, and I think they'll be able to work him out if they want to. And then Cody Mauch from North Dakota State, I like quite a bit as well. Those are the three names that I would consider if they're on the board there at 26. I think those are plug-and-play options for you at left guard.
I love that. Okay, Lane Johnson, this guy hasn't given up a sack in 2 years. A streak he maintained during the playoffs despite playing with a torn hip ligament. So he actually has had some injuries, but he was just able to sustain a very high level of play. He is now 32 years old, though, and Kelsey is 36. The unfortunate reality of offensive line is sometimes they can do it to 38, 39.
Yeah.
So you might have like two or three more years of Kelsey and another 6 years of Johnson.
I always say this and people laugh at it. I go, you learn how to hold, trip, and clip is what you do in your offensive line. And really the more years you have, if you're not breaking down, you kind of figure out. And that's the thing with Kelsey. Kelsey's not going to sit there and overwhelm you with blowing you off the ball. He's going to play with position, athletic ability, know the tricks of the trade. No, the good ones can. That's what they do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.